Mother's Questions and Answers, February 27th and March 6th, 1957. Mother does not give a talk to the class on February 27th. Instead, she just reads out several paragraphs about freedom from Sri Aurobindo's thoughts and glimpses. We have a footnote at the bottom of the page for the class of March 6th, which tells us that last week there was only a reading, followed by a meditation. It says that since Mother gave the darshan of November 24th, she had been having a slight hemorrhage in her left eye. This is the beginning of March, so she had been reading and speaking for 2 months with the eye problem. Starting on February 21st, 1927, 50 years before this, just after Sri Aurobindo retired to his room to concentrate on bringing the new supramental force, Sri Aurobindo and Mother gave 4 darshans every year in one of Sri Aurobindo's rooms. The Sanskrit word darshan comes from the word drishti, which means sight, and it means the truth of the thing seen. When you have a darshan of a realized person, the sight of the realized person gives you as much of their higher consciousness as you can receive. This dose of more consciousness helps you to make the next progress in your being that you have been working on, whether you are consciously working on yourself or not. Each of the 4 yearly darshans were given so that ashramites could receive the result of the work that Sri Aurobindo had done since the last darshan. In the beginning, they were started because the ashramites missed the opportunity to see Sri Aurobindo after he retired to his room. After Sri Aurobindo left his body in December of 1950, Mother continued Sri Aurobindo's work, and she went on giving the darshans alone. She sat in a chair on the other side of the same room where both of them had given darshan for 24 years. So even with the eye problem, she gave darshan on February 21st of 1957, 2 weeks before our class today. This week, Mother does speak to the class, but she doesn't read. There's a written question that someone sent, and she has Pavitra read it out. The person who asks the question wants to understand the paragraph which speaks of freedom and unity and servitude and love. Mother explains that the essence of freedom is the realization of the highest consciousness, which is unity with the divine and all. It is the very sense of the origin and its fulfillment. She says that the link between us and our origin is love. Real love is giving. So to love is to give oneself in every way. This means to serve the needs of all those we love, and the needs of the divine, and the needs of the all. In spiritual traditions, the disciple serves the guru. This is another way to receive the high consciousness of the realized guru. In order to serve the guru, you have to know what the guru wants. You have to think about the guru all the time and focus your being on the guru. When you think about someone, it's a way of concentrating on them, and you contact them. People don't usually feel it when someone else is thinking about them because we are not usually sensitized to things like this. But it is there all the same. So when we think about the guru all the time, and we try to please the guru all the time, and we want the guru all the time, we are keeping in contact, constant contact, with a person of higher consciousness. And since we are all sending and receiving instruments, we receive as much of the guru's higher consciousness as we're able to want and able to hold. When we give ourselves in service to a realized guru who has accepted us as their disciple, the guru has taken on the job of helping us to make progress. So not only do we receive their general consciousness as much as we can, we also receive what they choose to give us to consciously help us to grow and progress. We offer ourselves to serve, and the guru chooses the work that can best help us while we are thinking about helping the guru. You can see this happening here in Oroville. When people are here with the understanding that Sri Aurobindo and Mother are actively guiding us as much as we allow them to, they are clearly aware that there is some kind of guidance and receiving some force of consciousness. Since the beginning, people come to build Oroville, and they often find work that is very different from what they thought they would be doing, often very different from anything they ever did before in their life. And people change their work. When someone finds themselves in a job that they're really happy with doing, that fulfills them and makes them grow. Then you can really see this consciousness that governs Oroville at work. But it is always at work, and if we slow down and make the effort to look for it, we can see it clearly. There are many people living here who are very conscious of the fact that they have been given their particular work, and that they are being helped in their particular work. And usually that work is extremely successful, especially when they consciously open to Mother and Sri Aurobindo all the time. Sri Aurobindo has written something very beautiful in Savitri about the servitude of love. It's in Book 2, The Book of the Traveler of the Worlds, in Canto 3, The Glory and the Fall of Life. King Ashwapati is on his way to find the Divine Mother to ask her to come to help mankind progress more quickly. On the way, he sees the eternal blissful home of life before life entered into the manifested creation. Sri Aurobindo describes it like this. Creation leaped straight from the hands of God. Marvel and rapture wandered in the ways. Only to be was a supreme delight. Life was a happy laughter of the soul, and joy was king, with love for a minister. In this part of Savitri, he has many really beautiful descriptions of the immortality of life and the way life is in her original place. Here is what he says about servitude and love. There met the ardent mutual intimacies of mastery's joy and the joy of servitude imposed by love on love's heart that obeys and love's body held beneath a rapturous yoke. All was a game of meeting kinglinesses, for worship lifts the worshipper's bowed strength close to the god's pride and bliss his soul adores. The ruler there is one with all he rules. To him who serves with a free equal heart, obedience is his princely training's school, his nobility's coronet and privilege. His faith is a high nature's idiom, his service a spiritual sovereignty. This week we have the original tape recording of Mother reading about freedom on February 27th, and the original recording of her teaching about the joy of love servitude on March 6th. Even if you don't understand French, it's really worthwhile to listen to. It's beautiful to hear Mother's voice, the way she speaks about love, and the way she speaks about freedom. But somehow it's all about love. You feel from Mother's voice and the way she's speaking what it is to truly love. Both tapes will play after the English translation. It's February 20th, 1957. We're in Mother's class, and first she reads from Sri Aurobindo's Thoughts and Glimpses. It's quite long, longer than she usually reads, and it's not printed in the book, but we have it because it is on the tape. This is what she reads. Freedom is the law of being in its illimitable unity. secret master of all nature. Servitude is the law of love in the being, voluntarily giving itself to serve the play of its other selves in the multiplicity. It is when freedom works in chains and servitude becomes a law of force, not of love, that the true nature of things is distorted and a falsehood governs the soul's dealings with existence. Nature starts with this distortion and plays with all the combinations to which it can lead before she will allow it to be righted. Afterwards, she gathers up all the essence of these combinations into a new and rich harmony of love and freedom. Freedom comes by a unity without limits, for that is our real being. We may gain the essence of this unity in ourselves. We may realize the play of it in oneness with all others. The double experience is the complete intention of the soul in nature. Having realized infinite unity in ourselves, then to give ourselves to the world is utter freedom and absolute empire. Infinite, we are free from death, for life then becomes a play of our immortal existence. We are free from weakness, for we are the whole sea, enjoying the myriad shock of its waves. We are free from grief and pain, for we learn how to harmonize our being with all that touches it, and to find in all things action and reaction of the delight of existence. We are free from limitation, for the body becomes a plaything of the infinite mind, and learns to obey the will of the immortal soul. We are free from the fever of the nervous mind and the heart, yet are not bound to immobility. Immortality, unity, and freedom are in ourselves and await there our discovery. But for the joy of love, God in us will still remain the many. Then Mother says to the class, I propose that this evening we go simply into meditation. If you like, it can be on what I just read. And so we have our meditation. And that's Mother's class for the 27th of February. But now it's the 6th of March. We're back in the playground. All week we have worried about Mother and hoped that she's better. We're hoping that she'll be able to teach. And we know for sure that everyone else in the ashram has been worried about Mother also. So we're sitting, and Mother says to the class, she says, my eye will not allow me to read today. But I've been asked a question on what I read to you last week. I read it, and I did not say anything. I remember it quite well, and I'm going to reply to it this evening. And then she turns to Pavitra, and she says, Pavitra, will you read, please? And he reads, what does this paragraph mean? Freedom is the law of being in its illimitable unity, secret master of all nature. Servitude is a law of love in the being, voluntarily giving itself to serve the play of its other selves in the multiplicity. And Mother says, at a superficial glance, these two things appear absolutely contradictory and incompatible. Outwardly, one cannot conceive how one can be at once in freedom and in servitude. But there is an attitude which reconciles the two and makes them one of the happiest states of material existence. Freedom is a sort of instinctive need, a necessity for the integral development of the being. In its essence, it is a perfect realization of the highest consciousness. It is the expression of unity and of union with the divine. It is the very sense of the origin and the fulfillment. But because this unity has manifested in the many, in the multiplicity, something had to serve as a link between the origin and the manifestation. And the most perfect link one can conceive of is love. And what is the first gesture of love? To give oneself, to serve. What is its spontaneous, immediate, inevitable movement? To serve. To serve in a joyous, complete, total giving. So, in their purity, in their truth, these two things, freedom and service, far from being contradictory, are complementary. It is in perfect union with the supreme reality that perfect freedom is found. For all ignorance, all unconsciousness is a bondage which makes you powerless, limited, incapable. The least ignorance in oneself is a limitation. One is no longer free. It is only in perfect union with the supreme reality that there can be perfect freedom. And how to realize this union if not through a spontaneous self-giving, the gift of love? And as I said, the first gesture, the first expression of love, is service. So the two are closely united in the truth. But here on earth, in this world of ignorance and inconscience, this service, which should have been spontaneous, full of love, the very expression of love, has become something imposed, an inevitable necessity only for the maintenance of life, for the continuation of existence. And thus, it has become something ugly, miserable, humiliating. What should have been a flowering, a joy, has become an ugliness, a weariness, a sordid obligation. And this sense, this need for freedom, has been deformed also, and has become that kind of thirst for independence which leads straight to revolt, to separation, to isolation, which is the very opposite of true freedom. Independence. I remember having heard an old occultist and sage give a beautiful reply to someone who said, "I want to be independent. I am an independent being. I exist only when I am independent." And the other answered him with a smile, "Then that means that nobody will love you, because if someone loves you, you immediately become dependent on this love." This is a beautiful reply, for it is indeed love which leads to unity, and it is unity which is the true expression of freedom. So those who claim independence in the name of their right to freedom turn their backs completely on this true freedom because they deny love. The deformation comes from constraint. One cannot love through force. You cannot be compelled to love. It is no longer love. Therefore, as soon as compulsion intervenes, it is a falsehood. All the movements of the inner being must be spontaneous movements, with that spontaneity which comes from an inner harmony, an understanding, from a voluntary self-giving, from a returning towards the deeper truth, the reality of being, the origin, and the goal.
La liberté. l'humanité est la loi de l'être dans son unité illimitable. Le maître secret de la nature tout entière. La servitude est la loi de l'amour dans l'être qui se donne volontairement pour servir le jeu de ses autres moi dans la multiplicité. Quand la liberté travaille dans les chaînes et quand la servitude devient une loi de la force et non de l'amour, la vraie nature des choses est déformée et le mensonge gouverne l'action de l'âme dans l'existence. La nature part de cette déformation et joue avec toutes ces combinaisons qui peuvent en découler avant de lui permettre d'être rectifiée. Ensuite, elle rassemble l'essence de toutes ces combinaisons en une nouvelle harmonie riche d'amour et de liberté. La liberté vient d'une unité sans limite, car tel est notre être véritable. Nous pouvons gagner en nous-mêmes l'essence de cette unité. Nous pouvons aussi devenir conscients de son jeu en union avec tous les autres. Cette double expérience est le dessein intégral de l'âme dans la nature. Quand nous avons réalisé en nous-mêmes l'unité infinie, alors nous donner au monde est liberté parfaite et empire absolu. Infini, nous sommes affranchis de la mort, car la vie devient un jeu de notre existence immortelle. Nous sommes affranchis de la faiblesse, car nous sommes la mer tout entière jouissant des myriades de chocs de ses vagues. Nous sommes affranchis du chagrin et de la douleur, car nous apprenons à harmoniser notre être avec tout ce qui le touche et à trouver en toute chose l'action et la réaction de la joie de l'existence. Nous sommes affranchis des limitations, car le corps devient un jouet de l'esprit infini et apprend à obéir à la volonté de l'âme immortelle. Nous sommes affranchis de la fièvre du mental, nerveux et du cœur. Et cependant, nous ne sommes pas contraints à l'immobilité. L'immortalité, l'unité et la liberté sont en nous, attendant notre découverte. Mais pour la joie de l'amour, Dieu en nous sera toujours la multitude. Je propose que nous ayons ce soir simplement une méditation. Si vous voulez, vous pouvez vous fixer sur ce que je viens de dire. Mon œil m'empêche de vous lire. Mais on m'a posé une question sur ce que je vous ai lu la semaine dernière. J'ai lu et je n'ai rien dit, si vous vous souvenez bien. Et une question a été posée et je vais y répondre ce soir. Bavetta, voulez-vous dire?
Que signifie ce paragraphe? La liberté est la loi de l'être dans son unité illimitable, le maître secret de la nature tout entière. La servitude est la loi de l'amour dans l'être qui se donne volontairement pour servir le jeu de ses autres moi dans la multiplicité.
Pour un regard superficiel, ces deux choses paraissent absolument contradictoire et incompatible. Extérieurement, on ne conçoit pas qu'on puisse être à la fois dans la liberté et dans la servitude. Mais il y a une attitude qui concilie les deux et en font un des états les plus heureux dans l'existence matérielle. La liberté est une sorte de besoin instinctif, une nécessité pour le développement intégral de l'être. Dans son essence, c'est une réalisation parfaite de la conscience la plus haute. C'est l'expression de l'unité et de l'union avec le divin, c'est le sens même de l'origine et de l'accomplissement. Mais parce que cette unité s'est manifestée dans la multitude, dans la multiplicité, quelque chose devait servir de lien entre l'origine et la manifestation. Et le lien le plus parfait qu'on puisse concevoir, c'est l'amour. Et quel est le premier geste de l'amour? Se donner, servir. Quel est le mouvement spontané, immédiat, inévitable? Servir. Servir dans un don joyeux, complet, total. Ainsi, dans leur pureté, dans leur vérité, ces deux choses, loin d'être contradictoires, sont complémentaires. C'est dans l'union parfaite avec la suprême réalité que se trouve la liberté parfaite, puisque toute ignorance, toute inconscience sont des esclavages. Vous rendent impotents, limités, incapables. Dès qu'on a la moindre ignorance en soi, c'est une limitation, on n'est plus libre. Tant qu'il y a un élément d'inconscience dans l'être, c'est une limitation, un esclavage. C'est seulement dans l'union parfaite avec la suprême réalité que peut être la liberté parfaite. Et comment réaliser cette union si ce n'est par un don de soi spontané, le don de l'amour. Et comme je disais, le premier geste, la première expression de l'amour, c'est le service. Ainsi, les deux sont étroitement unis dans la vérité. Mais ici, sur la terre, dans ce monde d'ignorance et d'inconscience, ce service qui devait être spontané plein d'amour, l'expression même de l'amour, est devenue une chose imposée, une nécessité inévitable seulement pour le maintien de la vie, pour la continuation de l'existence. Et ainsi, c'est devenu une chose laide, misérable, humiliant. Ce qui devait être un épanouissement, une joie, c'est devenu une laideur, une fatigue, une obligation sordide. Et ce sens, ce besoin de la liberté s'est déformé aussi et est devenu cette espèce de soif d'indépendance qui conduit tout droit à la révolte, à la séparation, à l'isolement, qui est le contraire de la liberté véritable. L'indépendance. Je me souviens d'avoir entendu d'un vieux sage occultiste une belle réponse à quelqu'un qui disait « Je veux être indépendant. Je suis un être indépendant. Je n'existe que quand je suis indépendant. » Et l'autre lui a répondu avec un sourire. Alors, cela veut dire que vous ne serez aimé de personne parce que si l'on vous aime, vous devenez immédiatement dépendant de cet amour. C'est une belle chose, parce que c'est justement l'amour qui conduit à l'unité et que c'est l'unité qui est l'expression vraie de la liberté. Et ainsi, ceux qui, au nom de leur droit à la liberté, réclament l'indépendance, tournent le dos complètement à cette vraie liberté, parce qu'il renie l'amour. La déformation vient de la contrainte. On ne peut pas aimer par force. On ne peut pas vous contraindre à aimer, ce n'est plus l'amour. Par conséquent, dès que la force intervient, c'est un mensonge. Il faut que tous les mouvements de l'être intérieur soient des mouvements spontanés. De cette spontanéité qui vient d'un accord intérieur, d'une compréhension. D'un don de soi volontaire. D'un retour vers la vérité profonde, la réalité de l'être, l'origine et le but.